Well, hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who is joining us here at This Week with Dr. T. Each week, we get together and have an amazing guest and have conversations of great fun and good interest that I know so many of you are really enjoying listening to. After the interview, it will be stay here posted here on Cloud Hub, and it will also be posted in the Tenpenny Files, where you can go to the direct link by going to drtenpenny.com. Before we introduce our guest this morning, I just want to say a word about our sponsor. We have two things today that I want to remind you about. Before we begin, let me remind you about the Tenpenny store. You know, I kind of thought, because I don't do a lot of the development, that much of the things inside of our store was just about our private label supplements. But it's not just that. There are organic foods, organic snacks, an organic skincare line. There's better sleep products, and even an EMF shield protector for your laptop and your cell phone. But I like the best is our apparel. I just love our t-shirts and our mugs. And we've got new ones that are coming on all week and almost every month. We have several and they're usually on special. And I've created a new one about being a germaphobe. So you'll want to check back and actually see that. And so if you go to shop10penny.com, and we try to bring you great quality products with good designs. And if this is your very first time buyer, you can get 10% off your entire shopping cart by using the promo code FIRST10, as in FIRST10. FIRST10, take your time and stock up. I think that'll be really fun. The other thing at the store, we have a new CBD oil. There's a $50 off offer if you go to the health and supplement section on the website. And don't forget that when you're a member of our web, when you get our email list, every Friday, we post just called Dr. Tenpenny's Favorite Things. And so every Friday, we talk about some of the courses that we offer through Learning for You, some of the things that we have in terms of our apparel, and we always have great offers. So be sure you're on our email list so that you get that email every Friday with those special offers. So with that, let me introduce our guest for today, Dr. Christian Northrup. Dr. Northrup is a visionary pioneer and a leading authority in the field of women's health and wellness, which includes the unity of mind, body, emotions, and spirit. Internationally known for her empowering approach to women's health and wellness, Dr. Northrup teaches women how to thrive at every stage of life. A board-certified OB-GYN physician, Dr. Northrup graduated from Dartmouth Medical School and completed her residency at Tufts New England Medical Center in Boston. She is also an assistant clinical professor of OB-GYN at the Maine Medical Center for 20 years. Dr. Northrup knows that the key to vibrant health on all levels is within us, our inner wisdom. She says, quote, "When we find the connection between our thoughts, beliefs, physical health, and life circumstances, we find that we are in the driver's seat of our lives and can make profound changes. Nothing is more exhilarating and empowering." And after getting to know Chris really quite well over the last year or two, I'm so proud to call her my friend. And she, all those things I just read about her are really true. Those are just not something her publicist wrote. That's really how she lives her life. So good morning, Chris. Welcome to This Week with Dr. T.
Good morning. What a great way to start this week.
Well,
really.
Thank you so much. So I know that this weekend you said something about that you're going county by county in Maine and you're going to let them have it. What are you going to say to them? How are you letting them have it?
Well, it has been so much fun. Okay, let me tell you, first of all, I want to tell you how it started. So I go to we had a fundraiser December 4th. At this place called the Celebration Barn up in Dresden. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere, but this has been the only venue during this COVID madness that would allow people to actually come together before they had lifted restrictions. So we're there and a guy comes up to me with a quart of homemade sauerkraut. And he says, it's a good line. And he goes, "Listen, I brought this for you, grew it on my organic farm. I'm a former vet and, special forces. And I'm now gardening and growing food for patriots. And I want to know if you would come to speak to my friend Guy's Republican County meeting and in Androscoggin County." Sagadahoc. I'm learning the counties in my state. So he gives me Guy's phone number. So I call him up and I say, "Yeah, I'll come and speak to the county Republicans not because I care about either party, but because I know that if there's any party that can get us out of the tyranny, it's the Republican Party. Let's be clear at this point. That's just being practical. And I changed from a lifelong independent to a Republican in our state because of LD 798. Now, LD 798 was a bill that came that I testified against in March of 2020. Then I, like you, realized, oh, this state by state by state pushing mandated vaccines, 72 mandated shots for everyone, for daycare, for college, for soccer, for anything that you can imagine. I realized that this was crazy, and I never thought it would pass in the state of Maine because our former Republican governor, Paul LePage, who, by the way, was treated just like Trump. Just everything he said, the press made him look like a boob. Didn't matter what he said. I didn't know anything. I'm just there doing holistic medicine. But I remembered the measles thing at Disney World, how they started banging the drum. And I know how they do it with women's health. So I want to give you an example of that. So if you want to sell women on something, you begin to insert doubt via the women's magazines. So,
no kidding.
Yeah, yeah. And I have a friend, my editor for my books, who worked in New York at women's magazines. And she would tell me how they did it. So about 3 years before, the drug companies go in. And remember, most women's magazines, like all of mainstream media, are supported by Big Pharma. So they go in and so they had a birth control pill named Seasonal, and their marketing strategy was that you would only have four periods a year, one per season. Well, any gynecologist knows the way you give the pills determines when you get your period. It's all completely a chemical Big Pharma takeover of your body. So this was not any big deal thing. But what they did, Sherry, is they started to make women think that, listen to this term, chronic incessant ovulation, having a period every month, was somehow dangerous. So you insert that, and then you can sell the thing that artificially manipulates your hormones so that you have four periods a year. So we did the same thing with measles. They had this huge, oh my God, the dread diseases of the past are all coming back. Measles is coming back. And they did, and then they did that PSYOP in Disney World of the big measles outbreak, 19% of which were measles from the strain that was actually in the vaccine itself. As you well know, you know that world better than anyone on planet Earth.
Yeah, but it's really important to re-talk about that, Chris, because all of these things that were happening before with all of the childhood illnesses, the infections, the SB277, we've kind of shelved it in our brains because of COVID. So I think it's really important to re-talk about that. Please continue.
Yeah, so this was, so that started. And then I'm noticing that more and more and more people are now, they've learned a narrative that they had to learn because the narrative makes no sense. And that is that your unvaccinated child is a risk to my child, is a risk to my immunocompromised child who can't take the vaccine. Now, notice how far we've come from that. We have gotten to, when I was delivering babies and doing OB and all of that, never in the world would you give a pregnant woman an injection that contained mercury and aluminum and fetal DNA, and not ever. The female pregnant body was sacrosanct. Now what we've come to is, first, in the 90s, they introduced DPT and flu shots for all pregnant women in the second trimester. And I remember talking to a young woman who was pregnant, and she goes, well, I'm going in for my routine immunizations. I go, what would those be in pregnancy? And then I learned that long after I'd left obstetrics, this became standard. These are your standard shots, DPT and flu shots. And I even was asked to do an endorsement, a foreword for a book from a young OBGYN down in Boston at Beth Israel. And it was about miscarriage and how common they are. And it's 1 in 6. Just keep that in mind, everybody, 1 in 6. And that's just normal. And she was talking about the grieving that went on with miscarriages. And I want everyone to know that when I was a intern and resident at St. Margaret's Hospital for Women in Boston, I baptized more blood clots than you can imagine, because this was a very devout group of Irish Catholics. And they saw that miscarriage as losing a baby. And therefore, I honored that. And I remember in the middle of the night, over and over and over in the treatment room, I would talk to these women and get them through their grief and all of that stuff, and then tell them what was really going on. It's 1 in 6, and it would not happen again, most likely, and so on. A kind of God's way of getting rid of the ones that couldn't survive. Well, then this young OBGYN has a whole section on the flu shot. And I said, you know, I love everything about this book, but I cannot endorse your giving everyone a flu shot, because she had a section, your miscarriage was not from your flu shot. But I happen to know otherwise. The miscarriage can be because of your flu shot. And so she was telling everyone, no, don't worry, it's not your flu shot. And Sherry, this is the same thing that I have heard for my whole career, is vaccines are safe and effective. The tape goes in and the hypnosis comes on. Vaccines are safe and effective. The side effects are less than 1 in 1,000,000. They are the number one public health leap forward in history, in the history of humanity. And anytime you have an adverse reaction, it couldn't be from this great thing that landed on humanity through Jenner, or whoever the people are who invented the shots. So we've got a religion of these shots. So I gathered signatures in 2019 in Maine. We gathered, the people gathered 100,000 signatures. Now in a state of Maine, which is small, that's a ton. We had people at dumps on Sundays, you know, well, recycling centers, collecting signatures, because it was about choice. We never came out as that we were against vaccines. It was, you need to have a choice. And then I went and testified. And at the time, the love of my life, who I was with, now this is where God comes in, was a professor emeritus of epidemiology and public health at the University of Maine. And he had traveled University of New England. He had traveled all over the world with the WHO. He'd spent all kinds of time in Kenya. This guy worked with the Wabanaki Indian Nation. He was Mr. Doctor Public Health. His postdoc was at Harvard. And I thought, Sherry, you're going to love this, that our relationship would tank on the rocks of vaccine policy. But when I showed him all the data, he said, wow. And then he said, you should go testify. You should go up to Augusta and testify. Now, he had been very politically active and he knew everyone in the state. That is the last thing on God's green earth that I ever thought I would be doing, going up to Augusta, Maine and testifying about anything. So I made my testimonials, they're all a matter of public record. And it was about measles and it was about mumps and the fact that, remember at the time we had this whole battleship of men out in the middle of the ocean, all of whom had mumps and all of who'd been fully vaccinated. And then we had the same with a whole group of freshmen at Harvard. Yeah. So I had all this information. I had information that, you know, in China, they vaccinate 100% of all school children and they still have measles. And so my testimonies are rock solid. I ran them by Ron. And then what happened? And we lost that by one vote. One vote. A guy who was a pediatrician who said, I couldn't listen to this one. I couldn't live with myself if my grandchildren got measles. It's like the stupidity, the ignorance is on steroids. It's beyond anything I have ever seen. So we lost by one vote. I was very politically active. And then I was on the cover of Maine Women's Magazine. And it was a fluffy piece. Sherry, it was so fluffy. It was about dancing tango and getting married again. And it was completely, that tanked me. That's when I learned about cancel culture in Maine. Suddenly, I mean, I've seen you smeared on, you know, you've got
everywhere.
The big time,
Sherry. Everywhere.
You got the big time. You got the, you know, the nighttime shows. I don't think I've made it to the nighttime shows, but in Maine, we have now uncovered the source of right-wing hate in Maine. That would be me. Okay. There was another company called Coffee by Design, and I'm naming it on this because I want people to know, you know, we've played nice. We've played real nice. I've played nice for 40 years. Now I'm naming names. If they are connected with Klaus Schwab, the world, the global young leaders, or the World Economic Forum, they're in my crosshairs. And we have discovered stuff just this week that would make your hair stand on end just about our state of Maine. So anyhow, that's all the stuff that happened. Now, Ron's children that were adults were in the narrative in a huge way. And so the relationship, you know, it's a long story, but here's how I explain it. They were hemorrhaging him faster than I could transfuse him. And
very well said. I understand that completely.
And I think everyone does understand that. Mm-hmm. And so the fact of the matter is that he left the planet through death with dignity in April of 2020. Aww. And it's quite the story. And I wouldn't let him do it here because I actually believed that had I done that, I would have been accused of murder. Mm. So it's a long story. But
is it the topic of your next book?
I suppose it could be. I don't know. But I want to write a book for how do you get through these times? And you have to believe in what I call the real internet. That's the one where God runs it. Like, you know, so then Ron leaves. I hear from a prophet person. She said, he came to you to die. And I understand that. I understood that. That made total sense. That was what she was getting from God. And then, as you know, then COVID started. So COVID started in March 2020. That was also when we were doing the hearings against the vaccine mandates. And, you know, Larry was down in, Dr. Larry Pilevsky, he's down in Connecticut. I go down. Hosted by a group down there to do a rally, which I did. Larry's in the building. And remember, we would be in these buildings till like midnight, 1 o'clock. They'd give you 3 minutes to testify after a 40-year career. In Maine, we had 3 overflow rooms of parents with vaccine injured children. Now, what happened to me is I've been an outlier for a long time, and I was an outlier in this state, but suddenly I became a hero with the homeschooling group and with that whole group. But then COVID hit, I started to get smeared and I knew something was off, Sherry. So every night, like a ministry, I would go on a Facebook Live or an Instagram Live and I would tell people something was off. We'd talk about the vaccines. We would talk about how to stay above the fray. Now, during this whole time, summer of 2020, people are being canceled by their families. People are terrified of COVID because they're watching the mainstream news. Zev Zelenko has come out with his protocol. So I tell everyone, nobody needs to worry about anything. Just take this stuff. And then the fact checkers start to come in on Facebook and Instagram. And then you and me and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in the week of Valentine's Day, 2021, we all do a thing called the truth about COVID or COVID revealed. And that same week, we all lose our Instagram channels. And I had 170,000 people on that channel because I've been doing this ministry every night. And when people would bring up Trump, I had a couple dreams about Trump in the spring of 2020. Here's one. It woke me up at 5 a.m. and I had to get in the bathtub. That's what I do when I need to like just get water around me. And here's the dream. Now everyone's hating on Trump. Everyone's hating on Trump. And here's my dream. I am with Trump on a junket, on a tour speaking thing, one of his rallies. And they've invited me to be part of the entourage. And every 15 minutes, he has to go into a medical tent and have an EKG and his blood pressure taken. And I'm the one who's doing it. And I'm putting on the EKG leads and talking to him. And he's very personable and wants to know about my work. And I tell him, and it's like what Mel Kay says. She worked for him for 20 years. She said, this man is not who you think he is. He's, you know, and so I wake up because the dream was like real. And I say, whoa, I think this is not the man that everyone says he is. And I talked about the dream. Well, then the haters came out on Facebook. I mean, the hate, it like became a career. This, I called it, what do you call it? It's a psychosis. Trump derangement syndrome.
Oh, yes.
Trump derangement syndrome. It's like, not political. I could care less. I don't trust any politician, quite frankly. But let's, you know, this is insane. I have a lawyer for like entertainment law when I did Oprah and that kind of thing, very left wing in New York. And he said to me once, he said, I would like to blame Trump for everything, but he said, that's just stupid. I mean, that's just like, if that's, and I have friends, Sherry, who in the summer of 2020, I mean, good friends, who would start in about how this corona thing was caused by Trump. It was all Trump's fault. They went down the path in their brain, and it was like, I'm not going to be able to rescue them. There is no piece of science or intellectual information that can change that mass psychosis. Nothing.
Well, and it seems as though that you know, you were talking about how they planted things into women's magazines, that they started doing those things in all kinds of magazines and on the television, because, you know, these people that kind of run the world, the World Education Forum, I mean, the WEF and the global young leaders and all these Trudeau types, you know, that run the world, they operate 5 to 10 years in advance.
That's correct. This has been going on
for a long time.
For a long time in the schools and all that. Yeah.
And I met a gentleman, this was, oh gosh, maybe 10 years ago now, at a conference. And he worked for the Bush organization, Bush Senior organization, in present tense. And he was saying that he worked for their foundation. And it was the creepiest job. He had to leave because it was such a, it sort of messed up his head so much.
How
because
bad.
Everything they do, like when you walk into work in the morning and you clock in, you are now operating as though it was 10 to 15 years from now. And everything that you did in that moment while you were at work from 9 to 5 or whatever your hours were, you were in so 10 to 15 years ahead that they had already played it out. They already had everything in place. Everything was in place. And then when you leave and go home at night, you clock out and you go back into being 2017. And he said a lot of people got seriously messed up because, you know, and they were under strict NDAs that they couldn't tell anybody what their day job was like and what they were actually doing when they were inside of these organizations. So it's really real. I mean, you know, we talk about it a lot about how they've planned this out for a long time, but it's more than just like, you know, whiteboarding. It really is implementation that's going on. And the whole Hegelian dialect, you know, the problem, reaction, solution has been planned out 10, 15 years from behind. I am quite sure that what's happening in Canada right now with the truckers, they've already planned their response to this. They knew that eventually the human spirit for freedom would rise up in revolt. And God bless them for what they've done and how they've done it, you know, without violence. And I saw somebody sent me a video last night of a bunch of people around the courthouse, all on their knees praying in the snow. They were all praying. And so, but I'm sure at like this, like the Bush Foundation, they said, all right, if this happens, this is what we do. If this happens, this is what we do. If this happens, this is what we do. And each one of those things move everything towards tighter choking tyranny.
Yes, but here's the beauty of that. Because we humans are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God, we have superpowers that we haven't even begun to tap into. I mean, Sherry, meeting, you know, the miracles of 2020 and 2021 is that the true soul family has come together. I've never seen so many people come back to God. I've never seen so many people begin to read the Bible as the code that it is for these times. The book of Revelation, as Melissa Redpill, the world says, is not about us, it's about them. And they're going down. They are going down. So what's happening is they tried very hard to split up. Well, they've been trying to split up people because in 2020, I suddenly became a racist and a white supremacist. And then I became a QAnon conspirator like everyone else who just told the truth. And that was used to separate people. And it worked. I think there's about 30% of people who will never wake up. And those are the people in my nasty days, because I know that righteous anger is a cause of health. So therefore, I express it to get it out of my body so I don't die of inflammatory bilateral breast cancer. So what I...
Toss that right in there. That was really good.
I just pop it right in there. By the way, everybody, I knew that if I didn't get divorced, that's what would happen to me in my late 40s, early 50s. I knew what would happen to me. And I said, okay, sweetheart, you can't preach this to everybody else and not live it. Because the degree to which we get sick is the difference between what we say we believe and how we actually live our lives. Ooh, so if you look at these-
Say that again, that's really powerful.
It is.
Yeah.
The difference between what we say we believe and how we actually live our lives. If they are this far apart, you're in for it. Because it's, you know, you've heard it another way. If you don't get it the first time, you get a bigger whack. And if you don't get it the third time, you get a bigger hammer. And I knew that from working with patients for years and years. And I could see it coming, you know. If you have six cases of candida vaginitis in 6 months, it's probably not a monostat deficiency.
Exactly.
You know,
and monostat, for those that are listening, is a vaginal medication to treat yeast infections. So what she's saying is that if it comes back over and over again, it's not because you have a shortage of that medication, right?
That would be it. That it's like a
very
headache.
Well said. Very well said.
Yeah. So, you know, so anyway, with people like that, that 30%, I remember saying this in 2020, they were so psychotic. And so you, me, a very select group knew from the beginning, this is nuts. We knew from the absolute, this is nuts. You know, are we all waiting for the taxpayers' money to give us the results of the study about how standing in those circles in the grocery store saved lives. How many lives did the circles save?
And the masks, and the gloves, and the goggles.
Yeah. And the social distancing. And at the Olympics, you know, when those people went to the Olympics, those are those Chinese in hazmat suits. Why you would ever, I mean, okay, I'm not an Olympic athlete. I know that that's a different breed. And I have talked to those people, and some of them have said, if there were a performance enhancing thing that you could take that was legal, but you knew it would kill you in 5 years, would you take it? And a bunch of the gold medalist people say yes.
Wow.
Yes. It's a different breed. This is a different, the people with that kind of zeal to win. So like I would, why you would go to China, and, you know, it looked like Three Mile Island in the men's downhill. And the only reason I saw any of it was I was out in Utah skiing with my brother and sister-in-law. It was a huge coup for me to be asked. Okay, that's all I'm saying. You know how families, you know, I was always the scholar. They were a whole bunch of athletes. My sister was in the World Cup circuit. So they're, you know, they're all about it. So I happened to see the men's downhill in the Chinese Olympics, and they had three nuclear reactors right in the background. It was Three Mile Island. And then the men hurtling themselves, you know, down this mountain of artificial snow. And I'm thinking, this makes no sense to me whatsoever. But anyhow, so we go, you know, back to the mass psychosis, 30%. My daughter, who went to Yale.
Honestly, I think you're generous. I think there's more than 30% that will never get it. I really do. I think that people didn't wake up to autism. You know, people didn't wake up to, you know, a lot of things.
Because what they're doing and actually, with autism.
There was actually a study that was done when I wrote my second book on bird flu. I started the book with a study that had been done. So this would have been probably in the early 90s. And I don't think it's probably changed much. And what they did was they evaluated Americans, Germans, and Australians. And they, how the study was done was if they heard something on the news that was later retracted, how did they respond to the retractions? The Germans said, okay, fine, glad they cleared it up. And then they believed whatever the retraction was. The Australians, if they had heard it, said, most of them said the same thing. Most of them said, okay, I'm glad they cleared it up. But the Australians also said, well, I wonder when they're going to have a retraction of the retraction. So they had more of a suspicious sort of nature, even about the retraction. But the Americans, if they heard the retraction, they never believed it. They always believed 100% of what they were told the first time. And so with that as a backdrop, you know, all these people have been told COVID is going to kill you. You have to be on a ventilator. You can't touch anybody. You need to wear double masks and a shield and goggles and, you know, touchless, blah, blah, blah. You know, if Jesus himself stood in front of them and said, peace, stop, they'd never change their mind. Because it's kind of an American cultural thing. And the powers that be know that and capitalized on that. And so I believe that, yes, I believe there still is this thing we referred to as the movable middle. But I think it's pretty small. I think that people already at this point in time, they'll never change, ever, 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 no matter how many facts you put in front of them. And then there's a whole bunch of people over here that will never, ever, ever get the shot, no matter how much facts you put in front of them. And that movable middle is smaller and smaller and smaller. So you're much more generous than I am about it.
Well, you've been on the front lines of that for so long. I mean, you think about it, that, you know, how Larry just posted that meme, that the CDC has now changed developmental milestones in children so that what we would have called delayed speech, delayed crawling, delayed walking in the past is now considered normal. And so again, that as they seek to kill off the human race, which is what they're doing, let's Absolutely. Be clear,
yep,
they're making people believe that these delays are normal. And as when you see a kid who's had no shots, they look like geniuses these days. Absolutely. And what I say is, now in 1986, as we know, they tripled the vaccine schedule for schools. They tripled it because they had no liability. And that's a whole other story. That's the Andy Wakefield, you know, movie and all that. But I did the math on that. And that means that it's people in their 30s who had all those shots, a lot of them. And they're the ones having kids. And we know that this travels down the genetic line. And so we have an entire population of teens, 20s, 30s, if they went to public schools, who have been poisoned. So they have incredible neurotoxins in their system, and it's the dumbing down. Now, the curriculum, the Common Core curriculum is dumbing down enough. Remember the Apple guy, when he gave all those Apple computers to schools, to the school, we're giving everyone computers, and we all cheered. Oh my God, the kids are all going to get laptops. That was the beginning. And you're the one who sent out that amazing documentary, Naomi. What was it called? Something Naomi. And it was,
yes,
the, yeah, yeah, it was how television, you know, I was a kid when the test pattern would come on at night. So you were done with the broadcasting. Television does something, tell, lie, vision. And so they, all this subliminal stuff coming through the screen, and America does it better than anyone else.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then there's the Mickey Mouse Club and the Mouseketeers, and there's Disney. I listened on Good Friday of 2020. I watched Out of Shadows Official. Out of Shadows Official. And that was Mike, I forget, he'd been the stuntman in Hollywood. He worked on Batman, and he was at the top of his game. And it was his dream job, and then he fractured his pelvis. And he's working with a woman for rehabilitation. In the middle of it, she says, "Can I pray for you?" And he's thinking, well, all right, you know, knock yourself out. He's in Hollywood. What does he care? And the demonic energy that came out of him changed him. And then he said, "I don't know anything about conspiracies, but I know a lot about Hollywood." And then he made this film. He put all of his savings into this movie that came out on Good Friday of 2020. And he talked about Project Mockingbird and Operation Paperclip, and how after World War II, they brought all these Nazis over and they made them look like normal scientists. White Sands, Los Alamos, out there in New Mexico, you know. So I began to listen to all this stuff, Gene Decode, the deep underground military bases, and became friends with Gene and all of these people. Suddenly I began to realize that, and then I listened to Follow the Cabal by that incredible Dutch researcher. And I knew what was going on. I said, this makes sense to me. Because when you've dealt with holistic medicine as long as we have, and we've seen the way that every major free or natural solution is decried by the mainstream, when you've been in it that long, you see it. You just see it the minute it's out there. And, you know, in the germ theory of disease versus terrain. So we've got Louis Pasteur versus Antoine Beauchamp. And I've watched with, obstetrics, when they brought in the fetal monitor, the C-section rate went to 25%. And in some countries like Brazil, the C-section rate is 90%.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Yes. Because it's convenient, because here's what they've done, Sherry.
Convenient for the doctor?
It's convenient for the doctor, but here's what they've done. For the last 100 years, They have brainwashed women into thinking that the pain of labor is the worst possible thing you can ever go through. Oh, and that having a baby is dangerous to your pelvic floor. So therefore you'll never have a normal urination or defecation again and no sex and all the rest of it. So we've made women believe that the C-section is the best way to go, the vaginal bypass surgery. And so I have,
what a name, huh?
Yeah, I have, well, that was my own, you know, it's my own name, but
so, that, you know, says it all though, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? Yeah. And so all the things that I've been doing for my whole career, starting in the 70s, the 80s, don't clamp the cord, let the cord resuscitate the baby. All the things that nature and God have done to bring us onto the planet, you know, the Michelle Odant, the Le Boyer births and all of that stuff is what I was doing. And a lot of that has caught on in hospitals. When my daughter had her baby, I went into the hospital for the first time in years and they had posters around. Skin to skin is the best. Like putting the baby on the mother's chest. I couldn't believe it. And I ran into someone who'd been a breastfeeding consultant there. And she said, from the time you left, it has taken me 20 years to get this through as policy, putting a baby on the mother's chest at birth so that it can get colonized with all of the mother's flora versus what I saw in med school. Up in the land of the Aryan gods, by the way, Dartmouth at the time, because they weren't into diversity at the time. Everyone was just a tall Aryan Viking. Okay. So I would watch these women look down, the baby's born. First of all, you had to drape them like it's a surgical procedure. And as a med student, I was more worried about getting the drapes right. Okay, this goes under here and there's one for each leg and this goes over here. And so, you know, you've got basically the birth canal there, the introitus, that's the surgical site. So you got to shave that and you got to prep it with betadine. Then you can have the baby. So the baby comes out, they clamp the cord, they give it to an awaiting nurse. She whisks it to the nursery to clean it up. And the mother is like, can I see my, oh no. And those were natural childbirths.
Wow.
And so I watched that and I said, something ain't right here. So my whole residency, and at St. Margaret's, they gave everyone a spinal for the actual delivery. You'd go through labor without any pain relief, but then they'd give you a spinal. You would be paralyzed from the waist down. And the women would fall asleep, or the whole labor would stop and they'd have to pull the baby out with forceps while the father and the obstetrician talked about the Red Sox. That's what would go on. And then I'd watch Dr. Papageorge, the Greek, you know, the father of the baby would hand him a load of cash in the elevator. You know, that's how it's done. You're going to take care of my wife. And, you know, this is what I want done. So let's just say there were some things that I felt needed to be addressed, but I also knew.
imagine that.
But I knew that it wouldn't help to become, you know, a raving lunatic about it. You know, there was another woman at the time who, you know, we had the Immaculate Deception, you know, we had all the childbirth radical people, and Suzanne Arms, the Immaculate Deception. So that was coming out at that time. And we had the women's movement was very radical. You know, everyone had these plastic speculums so you could see your own cervix.
Oh, and, man. Seriously?
No, it's the truth, Sherry. I know.
Wow.
I know, but that's what was going on. And I always had my foot in both worlds. Like, this is too crazy. you know, I'm either at the midwifery conferences where everyone's got Birkenstocks and a baby on each breast, or I'm over at, you know, or I'm over at an OBGYN conference with a bunch of men.
Yeah, thinking they know everything about childbirth, right?
Thinking they know.
And they're the experts.
Remember, it was a huge loss for them. Things have changed a lot. Now I think 60-70% of the field is women, but it was a huge loss for the good men because they really, really cared about women. And there's a thing that happens in the at birth that I want everyone to know about. And it's kind of this huge wave of prolactin and oxytocin, which is Cupid's arrow. And so in the old days, the woman would land that on the obstetrician. So she would have dreams that she was waltzing with her obstetrician. And so it was an enormous blow to the male profession when the husband starting to come into the delivery room, because then that Cupid's arrow landed on the husband, not the obstetrician. And a lot of these guys were good men. They're really good men. So they lost a lot of market share at that point. But I also remember the home pregnancy test came in when I was still an intern, and the obstetricians were up in arms. You know, no one would know what to do with that information, that you need to come in for the appointment. Like, we've come a long way, but now our governor has ordered, I don't know, some kind of millions of home-based PCR tests, which are bullshit, for Mainers in need. In need of what? Another false positive test to make you think you're sick?
Yeah,
so you won't go back to work? I mean, here's the thing, Sherry. We have to remember the American Revolution was won when only 3.5% of the people believed that we should leave England.
Yeah.
Only 3.5%.
So we don't need everybody.
We don't need everybody. So I just have here my new copy. I'm sure you have this. This is the Founder's Bible.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So this is the Bible that's it's based on the one that the Founding Fathers used. Now, do we have a little cleanup to do with what was done to the Native Americans and what was done to the women and what was done to the Black slaves? Uh-huh. Yes.
You know, going back for just a second about the things that you saw as a resident, I remember when I was an intern and we did an OB-GYN residence rotation because we had to. It was the most horrifying things I think I ever saw. I mean, things like, why do we medicalize a natural process? Why do, when women are ready to push out that baby, the nurses are standing there screaming, don't push it, don't push it, don't push it, because the doctor's not here yet. And why did we, you know, all of history of humanity, when women went to have a baby, they squatted down and used their abdominal muscles and their lungs to open up their pelvis so this baby would fall out. And instead, because of men, we lay them flat on their back and put their legs up in the air. I mean, and I could go on and on and on. It's nothing new to you, but I'm just telling you that what we have done to the most natural thing of humanity, which is giving birth and the connection between the mother and her child and the connection, what it used to be in special between the woman and her husband who created this child, is just, I think, one of the zillions of travesties inside of medicine and healthcare, which is just such an oxymoron because it has nothing to do with health and is really not care, you know? And so it's just, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, because you tend to be, because for the people that are listening, you know, Chris and I are part of the five doctors, you know, we're part of the five doctor team, the five Ds, which, you know, by the way, this Thursday night is another 5D episode. We do it the last Thursday night of the month. And so, you know, so it's me and Chris and Dr. Larry Pilevsky, Dr. Lee Merritt, and Dr. Carrie Madej. For those of you who are hiding under a rock somewhere and didn't know that we're the five doctors and we've been doing this for a while, but but all of us are old enough to have seen so much travesty in medicine. and how we really do need to start something totally new, totally separate, and get back to the humanity of taking care of someone with just a little expert knowledge. I mean, what separates Chris and I from all of you is that we have a little extra education over here in this box, but yeah. All of you have education. You may be a PhD in something, you may be an electrician, a carpenter, a builder. I wouldn't know the first thing about putting a new electrical socket in my wall. I just wouldn't, you know? So we just have a little extra expertise in this particular area. But what has happened is because of that over the decades, no, over the 100 years, really, you know, people have come to like worship that knowledge because we can are the difference between life and death. Not really. So one of the things that we have to do to change this new healthcare paradigm, which, you know, Chris and I have been talking about and the other people, what we need to do differently is get back to humanity and get people to take self-responsibility, learn a little bit about your body. I mean, you don't have to know anatomy, physiology to the level that doctors are supposed to know it, but you only get one of these. This is it. So you should know a little bit about it, about how to take care of it. I mean, if you were only going to get one car in your entire life and that was it, you'd probably learn a little bit about the car and learn how to better take care of it and not just abdicate that responsibility to the car mechanic over there. You'd know a little bit more about it. Well, you need to take a little responsibility for your own body and not just abdicate it to somebody, another human who happens to wear a white coat. You know, it's just such a revolutionary thing that I know we're all going to be part of, you know.
Well, we are, because the current doctors, the current young doctors, I'll tell you what they know how to treat. Ready? A freaking iPad. That's what they treat, is an iPad. They don't look at the patient. They just dial in the protocol. Oh, the sweat they have. Boom, 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 boom. They have... Now, this is not all of them. I was at a recent meeting in Venice, Florida, of the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, and these were real doctors. It was shocking to me. They were great people, and they saw it. And one reported about a hospital in Florida that they're using an amazing, I've got to figure out who this guy is, but they have, it's sort of... they don't do the usual model. They don't give all the money. See, here's when things begin to tank. When the chief of the hospital became an executive and not a doctor.
Absolutely. It's sort of like the same thing that tanked the airline industry. When it wasn't the pilots that were in charge of the airline industry anymore. It was a CEO that maybe kind of flew in an airplane as a passenger once in a while. They didn't even know how to fly the plane, and they were the ones making the decisions about flying. The same thing happened in medicine. The same thing. You know, doctors used to have their own practices. They used to run the hospitals. They used to make decisions in the best interest of patients. And we brought in the CEOs that made decisions, and we started taking the big hospital systems and making them publicly traded. Or have them part, the same thing with health insurance. You know, when health insurance became publicly traded, they were beholden to the shareholders, not to the hospital, not to the doctor, not to the patient.
That's right. So now we're back to Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, because they're all, and then there's this book called Snakes in Suits. Ooh. And it's about the psychopath. It's a good book. And it's about the fact that what it takes to be a CEO of these companies is generally a degree of psychopathy. There's, according to this book, about 1 in 100 people is a psychopath. And as Lee Merritt points out when she does her great genealogy of who's at the top, like of Ralph Baric and the all of the stuff that they do in the military, I think she's got it pointed back to, like, you know, 6 psychopaths at the top, and she can name all the names. So what we all have to remember as humans is, once you tap into who you really are and you bring in God, and you just bring in God, and, you know, God is, you don't need a church, everybody. You are the church. If you can find a good church where then it's really helpful, because community equals immunity. But you got to bring this in. And yesterday the sermon was about, are you going, if you see someone's kids getting out of hand, do you have enough courage to risk the relationship of telling the parent the truth about what's going on with their child. Do you have, that's what character is. We have a series going on character.
Wow, that's
and one of the sermons was about narcissism. And that's one in five people is on the spectrum of narcissism. So, and we have, of course, aided and abetted that in schools and so on. Everybody gets a trophy. Everyone gets a participant thing so that the kids, in addition to having neurotoxins in their body, they no longer have moral fiber. Do you know that when the Twin Towers came down, I guess they had a room at Yale where you could get hot chocolate and, you know, or no, when Trump was elected, they had all these places that students could go because they couldn't handle it. Meanwhile, it was 18-year-olds who stormed the beaches at Normandy. Now, I'm not saying we need to go back there. What I'm saying is we could use a little more androgen, a little more of, it's, you know, with us, it would be testosterone or God courage. God courage comes in the form of testosterone often, but you know, I'm at the point, it's fascinating. As a postmenopausal woman, I have bigger balls than most of the...
Me too.
You know, and we really do. I'm astounded by this. So what I do, so now I just did, okay, so we did Sagadahoc County. We did Kennebec County on Friday night. And so let me go back to, so my guy, Ron, dies. Then in the winter of 2021, I began, because of Pam Popper out in Ohio, I started to have these meetings. You know, we got to get people together when two or more are gathered. So we just started to have these meetings because Pam said, have Thursday night meetings. And she founded Make Americans Free Again. So I was on a mastermind with Pam. So I started to have these meetings and a guy named Ron showed up and I knew it's like, okay, God sent me another Ron. And this one, Ron Jenkins, shows up and he says, I'm thinking I will take this case. Now it's the case that was rolled out in Ohio by Tom Rentz and New Mexico. And we were the third state to roll out this lawsuit, which was holding the governor's toes to the fire. Tell us what your cycle threshold was for the PCR test you were using and prove to us that there's ever been a public health emergency. So I got to know Tom Rentz. Ron came in and I said, why do you think you would take this lawsuit? And he said, well, I represent victims of medical terrorism in Guatemala who were infected with syphilis against their knowledge.
Wow.
It was Tuskegee 2.0. He knew nothing about this. He did a deep dive. He said, I've been to the Rockefeller Archives in Sleepy Hollow. It is the darkest place. This is reminds me of what the guy said about the Bush Foundation. And it doesn't matter, by the way, if they call themselves Democrats or Republicans, they're two wings of the same rotten bird. And so Ron had that experience. So he knew that evil was afoot. He's also a very devout Catholic, just like Tom Rentz, but, you know, like not a Vatican Catholic, you know, like the real God stuff. So sometimes he'll get up on stage and he'll say, okay, I could talk to you about the lawsuit and where it's going, but I'd really like to talk about God. So he just shows up and I just know it's the real internet. So now he just filed a lawsuit in Alabama along with the frontline doctors. And this is the DOD database, the Department of Defense database, where they found out that, you know, the neurologic problems in the military are up 1,000%. And the data is damning. And he has just gotten to know the three different whistleblowers, Teresa Long and the other group that couldn't live with themselves anymore when they saw that was happening to the military with these shots. So Ron just filed that last Thursday. And we started Main Stands Up just to get communities together. Now we have 24 different communities. We finally have having meetings regularly. And then we all get on Signal and we, you know, so we've sort of infiltrated the state. Now here's the favorite, my favorite part. Okay. So my friend Drew, who's an investigative journalist by trade up in Camden, we made him our press secretary when we decided we were going to file this lawsuit. And by the way, we have to get a 501c3 now because I realized the big money donors need a 501c3. So we finally have to do that. Good. We will do it. But anyway, Drew says, okay, we have to put you in a soundproof booth. We don't want you to be the face of Maine Stands Up. It won't work because by then I'm smeared on the front page of Portland Press Herald and, you know, all of that. So the best thing happened. I get a call from Helen of the Kennebec Republicans, and she said, I think we should have Maine Stands Up as who's speaking at this thing. You can be a member of that because people know Maine Stands Up. They know that you're against the mandatory vaccines and mandatory COVID measures, but they don't really know who you are. And I said, hallelujah, hallelujah. We didn't ever want it associated with me because it has to be grassroots. It's got to be the citizen standing up. And that is in exactly what's happening. Then this morning, I get another text from Lincoln County to do my, you know, my presentation. And then God sent me another woman. This is way back before I did the first Clay Clark event. Because of we called ourselves the Warriors of the Radical Light. That was my group when we, you know, get on Facebook and all that. She sends me some PowerPoint slides. She said, I'm thinking maybe you could use something like this. OMG. The woman is a genius. She's a graphic genius. And she is a researcher beyond. And so we get together and we create these presentations. So now I'm going to Lincoln County. And so these, you know, these Republican people, what I want them to know is, guys, there is a tidal wave coming and you can get to higher ground and I can show you how to do it.
So
but
how
you've
got to
move.
How can they, because as we're wrapping up here for this morning, Chris, we could talk forever because you have such interesting things to say and so much depth of knowledge and just insightful things. So as we're kind of winding up here this morning, where can they find you and follow what you're doing? So they can, particularly people in Maine or in the Northeast, how can they find and follow what you're doing?
Okay. DrNorthrup.com is my website and everything is there, but MaineStandsUp.org. That's where you want to get on our e-newsletter there. MaineStandsUp.org. Sign up for the newsletter and make a donation. $5 a month, please. If we can get 100,000 people at $5 a month, we will be able to pay Ron. All of our money goes to paying this unbelievable lawyer who can work. He's a barrister in England, works in the Caribbean and in Maine, and God sent him. I'm telling you. He works with Tom Rentz. He did many of the drafting of the lawsuits that are used by lawyers all over the country because he freely gives them. He does all the work and then just gives them to whoever's in this fight. In fact, Sherry, haven't you found that's how it is? Whatever we've got here. I mean, you sent me the 40 mechanisms of injury. Those you've been sending around to lawyers, helping move the needle here.
Yep. And so all of those links that you just gave, we'll all put them in the show notes so people will be able
to. And also my Telegram channel.
Okay. Is it Dr. Northrup on Telegram?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Dr. Christian Northrup. Yep.
Okay. Let me sure I had that.
That's where I do most of my, you know, most of my posting. I also do, you know, I have Facebook and Instagram, but the stuff that we're talking about, I just put snarky memes on Instagram. It's Dr.
Well, at least you've still got your Instagram account.
It's my third one. It's a rogue
account. That's good. From Instagram, from Twitter, from Facebook, and from PayPal. And that's a real problem.
No, I have lost PayPal and Venmo. Yep.
So anyways, thank you so much, Chris, for spending this time with me this morning. It was just great hearing all of the things that you put together. And I'm sure that people who are listening to this will want to listen at least a second time, because there's so many pearls of wisdom in there. And at the top of the link at Cloud Hub, you can share. It looks like three little dots, like dot and a dot, and it's a share button. And if you click on that, you can share the individual episodes or you can share the entire channel. So as we're trying to grow our This Week with Dr. Tenpenny channel, please share it with your friends. We used to get, I had 157,000 people on my Instagram channel, you know, before they took it down. And I know it's a challenge to get people to go over to Cloud Hub because it's relatively new. I mean, Cloud Hub just really launched in November of 2020. So it's a brand new platform, already has more than 6 million people that are users, and the long-term plans for this company are really big. So I encourage all of you to set up your accounts on Cloud Hub. You can upload your videos. You'll never be censored, never be shut down. You know, get to know it. I think it's going to be the real answer to Facebook as people understand the tyranny of Facebook and want to leave. So with that, Chris, I want to thank you again. I want to thank all the people that join us here on Monday morning for This Week with Dr. T and all the amazing guests. If you've missed some of the episodes, scroll back and listen to them. I mean, there are great stories and great interviews on that channel where you can find it. So with that, all of my broadcasts, whether it's pre-recorded or live, I always close with one of my favorite verses from the Bible, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, lean into God, trust him for everything big and small. He really wants to have a relationship with you, so that means everything. Give him the glory, and we'll see you guys all next week. Chris, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Thank you so much. We'll talk again real soon.
My pleasure. All right.